So this podcast is about planning for the non-financial side of retirement. But make no mistake, you've got to be well prepared first for the other side, the financial side of the equation. So while that's certainly not my focus, from time to time, I bring on guests to talk about the financial side, to make sure you've got the information that may make you think differently and be prepared for conversations with your financial advisor about how to make sure you've got the money right. This is a special best of episode with short clips of the best conversations we've had about money matters. You'll find each of the clips with links to the full episodes and full conversations in the show notes. I hope you enjoy these great conversations with people on the financial side of the equation. First up is Wade Fow. He's someone you want to listen to about retirement planning. He's a true expert in the financial side of retirement planning and also explores the non-financial side increasingly as well. He spoke with us about a number of topics, about things you'd want to consider to make sure you're planning properly. And he talked about one of the risks that sometimes doesn't get enough attention, and that's longevity risk.
Longevity risk is worth mentioning first. And it's a good thing in a way. It's the idea you don't know how long you're going to live, and you might live a very long time, which is wonderful. But just on the financial side, it's expensive to live a long time. You have to fund your retirement for more and more years. So longevity risk really is the overarching risk. Then you've got the different types of market risk and market volatility, interest rates that are changing and so forth, just market-related risks. And inflation could be part of that as well, but even a low inflation rate over a long retirement can really compound over time. And then everything else really falls into a category of spending shock, which is you may have a reasonable baseline budget that you anticipate, but just the unexpected events that happen outside of that. Or, I mean, you may have a sense something that may or may not happen, like a big healthcare bill, having to pay for long-term care, having to care for other family members in an unexpected way, anything that just relates to having to pay more than you anticipated as an additional spending shock. So it's longevity, market risk, and spending shock. Those are the three primary categories.
So next up is Larry Kotlikoff, named by The Economist as one of the world's 25 most influential economists. You may have run the numbers and worked with your financial advisor or perhaps some really good retirement calculators about the math on early retirement. But he says, not so fast. There are some risks to retiring early that you should stop and think about before taking the plunge.
People are focused on their life expectancy rather than their maximum age of life. They think they're going to die on time. Wall Street is pushing people to focus on your actuarial lifespan. We can't think about playing the odds with our life because we might live to our maximum age of life. So we have to plan for that catastrophic event. This is a catastrophe financially. Emotionally, it's terrific. You get to see your grandkids for longer. But financially, it's the worst possible outcome living to your maximum age of life because you have to keep paying for yourself. So we're saving far too little. We're thinking that our employers are going to take care of us through the 401k. Somehow the contributions we make and they make and what Social Security is going to do for us, all this is going to give us a secure retirement, but it's probably, you know, it's far too little. We need to save, especially with these low interest rates, we need to save a ton and or work much longer than we had wanted to do or expected to do. So I talk about in the book about retirement being, for most of us, financial suicide. It's a decision to take the longest vacation of our lives. And every year you retire early, you know, you're putting yourself at more risk to run out of money. So in the book, I've run the software under the hood in the book to figure out to explain to people how much their living standard could drop if they haven't saved enough and if they have these extra years to finance. So the big risk is running out of money. And the big risk is being bored, I think. You can only play so many golf games or your knee might give out. And most people who are retiring early are not physically unable to keep working. And I talk about that based on the data. So the other risk is that people will take their Social Security too early in connection to retiring early, and they'll try and keep their retirement money in the stock market. So that's exactly the wrong thing to do. You should, if you do retire early, you want to wait till 70 to take your retirement benefit.
So your retirement is going to be one of the most, if not the most, expensive propositions in your lifetime. And to afford a long life and fulfilling life, it's expensive and you may need to be creative and think outside the box. We spoke with Harriet Edlison, the author of 12 Ways to Retire on Less, Planning an Affordable Future.
I think once you get out of the way the financial security issue, in other words, you feel that you're going to have enough money and you're going to be able to not only pay for your absolute needs, food, clothing, shelter, and so on, but that you're going to have a cushion, you're going to have enough money to realize those dreams. So you do have to do the basic what's coming in before you retire, and then what will be coming in once you give up that paycheck or you close down your business, you close your dental practice, or you sell your medical practice, whatever that it is that you're doing, and see how much money will be coming in. And this is something you got to do, I'd say, at least 2 to 3 years before, so that you get this out of the way and you don't have to wonder, do I have enough? Will I have enough? Will I run out? Which a lot of people have the fear of. And then once you've got that straightened out, then you think, what are the things that I really would love to do? I'd love to get a second home, for example. I'd love to ski again. There are people who want to do these things. There are people who might want to travel around the world. So then you figure out, how much is this going to cost me? So the dreaming has to be in the context, of course, of what you can afford. But at some point, you can just say, if money were no object, what would I want to do? And you can sit down with your spouse of 30 years or whomever, partner, whoever it is that you share your life with, or if you're solo, and actually write down some of those things. If money were no object, what would I want to do? I want to take a balloon ride, whatever it is that you think you might want to do, or you want to be able to fly back and forth between three homes, whatever it is, actually allow yourself to fantasize a bit and get away from the same, maybe little box that you have been in for maybe, as I say, 20, 30 or more years.
And I spoke with Bobby Rebell, CFP, who reminds us that part of planning for your retirement is ensuring that you're raising children who turn out to be financially independent and responsible adults. But at the same time, to keep in mind that growing up today and leading into adulthood is different than what we may remember back in our day.
I'm giving people till 26 to launch their kids, even though on paper it might be 22 or even 18, because, you know, we do have Obamacare till 26. So we do have financial ties to our kids in many circumstances. And, you know, it's a joke. Netflix is now cracking down on these family plans. But you know what? I would not buy an extra Netflix subscription if I didn't need to, because again, we've got this family ecosystem. Like, why should we create extra expenses? And a generation ago, this literally didn't exist. Like, there was no Netflix. There was no cell phones. So we weren't discussing staying on the same phone plan. You had a landline and your kids got another landline in their home when they moved out, or they shared your phone, or you had call waiting, whatever it may be. So these are really new things. And things have changed. And so we can't just be like, well, when I was your age, I'd moved out at 22 or whatever. I moved home at 22 for 6 months and it was humiliating, humiliating at the time in the early 90s, right? Now people are like, oh, that's so smart. She moved home. She's saving money. Great. So our lens has changed and we have to remember that, give our kids the support and love that they need, give them the space to figure it out, but also make sure that we have guardrails up and we are clear with our expectations. There's a very big difference between letting your kid just be a slacker hanging out at home or letting them use your resource of living rent-free to help them get a head start on their goals and their achievements and what they want to do with their life. And you have every right to be checking in with them, including looking at their money, if they are using your resources to do so, because you want to be in touch. You don't want to just say, oh, sure, stay at home as long as you need. I mean, that's the truth, right? None of us are really going to kick our kids out. But you need to set those expectations and they can be high. And kids love that. They respond to that. Let them know you believe in them. And that's going to go a long way towards their success.
Women tend to live longer than men and they face different challenges than men do in retirement. So we spoke with Russ Thornton. He has a practice based around women in financial planning for retirement called WealthCare for Women on the challenges that he sees his clients dealing with and overcoming.
I think the opportunity to strike a balance between being prepared for an uncertain future while still living a great life today. I find so many people seem to be so focused on or maybe even anxious about the future that they're really scared or don't give themselves the liberty to save less, spend more today, spend money on things that they enjoy or they'd enjoy doing with their spouse, their family, et cetera. At the same time, you don't want to be so focused on today that you're basically relying on a hope and a prayer to make things work in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So it's about striking a balance. And then a couple of final things I'd say is it's focus on simplicity over complexity. So many people make their life is crazy and moving fast and faster every day, complex enough as it is. I don't think that your retirement planning, financial or otherwise, needs to add to that complexity. So I think simplicity is important. And I think simplicity is often associated with simplistic or ineffective. In my experience, that couldn't be further from the truth. And the final thing I'll say is focus on the things within your control. So many people are worried about investment markets or the political climate or interest rates or what might happen with this, that, and the other, most of which is not even remotely within your control. Whereas things like your cash flow, how much you spend versus how much you save, how much investment risk you take, when do you retire, and the timing of other goals or milestones in your life, I think are a much better place to focus your time and attention because those are things that you can, if not completely control, you can certainly influence. So I think those are, I mean, there's clearly a lot that goes into a sound retirement plan, but I think those are a few good starting points and key building blocks.
Where do conversations start with your financial advisor? We spoke with one who actually begins in a place where most don't. That's Casey Weed. He starts with trying to understand your purpose before getting into how you're going to finance your retirement.
She asked me what my purpose is, and I think my purpose is the same as everyone else's. I think we all have the same purpose, and that core purpose is to help people. It doesn't matter what kind of business you're in, what you're doing in your career or what you're doing in your life. You know, all of us have the same purpose to help people and elevate the lives of others around us. And we have to recognize that that's the case. If we simply just help someone step into retirement, we can do them a massive disservice. I've seen entirely too many families step into retirement thinking that this is going to be this glory land of relaxation and leisure and spending time in our hobbies, only to very quickly become disillusioned, oftentimes depressed, and even at times turning to substances in order to overcome that lack of purpose and meaning in our life. I want the families that come in to work with us, I don't want them to come in for a financial plan. Our team knows that I want people to come to us for a different type of product. I don't want them to come thinking they're going to walk out with some financial plan. I want them to walk into our doors feeling that they're coming in here in order to elevate the impact they're making in their lives through financial freedom, but mostly through clarity, through gaining greater clarity about what they want out of their lives, what they value, what they vision for their future. And then we can architect the plan around that. And if we don't do that, not only can we do a disservice by getting someone in the wrong place, but in today's world, you mentioned the world that we're in today. Well, the world isn't the way it used to be. And I know that may sound like something you've heard over and over again, this time is different, but in many ways, it is different. It's much different than it was for your parents. It's different than it was for my grandparents, financially speaking, but also demographically. You know, we're living much longer lives, for one, quite obviously. But from a financial perspective, we're in one of the lowest interest rate environments in history. We are in one of the most expensive equity markets in history. And if we take into consideration all of those inefficiencies, we can't just take our life savings and throw it in a CD like maybe your parents did and get 6, 7% a year and cover all of our needs. Now we have to be much more precise about how we're allocating our dollars based on the specific purpose of that money. And if we start with the purpose we have for our lives, that'll guide the specific allocations we're going to have across those different purposes we're going to have for our money. We have dollars that will be set aside for liquidity, for income needs, for long-term growth, for our legacy, for healthcare, for tax planning. And there's different tools that are available today that'll most efficiently help you accomplish all of those goals. Well, it's not easy. There is no shortcut that we're going to be able to find to get us to our purpose. It's not something that happens overnight. It's hard work. We have to put in some effort. And the families that come in to work with us, they're not ones that are just going to fill out a questionnaire, pop in for a half an hour, and walk out with this financial plan. We need them to be invested in this. We need them to be emotionally invested in creating this plan. And first and foremost, that starts with, as you mentioned, clarifying their purpose. And that has to be done in stages. I think we have stage one, which is introductory. We need to be introduced to this concept of purpose, because many times we've never been asked what our purpose is. Where do you find meaning in life?
So you can tell just from these brief clips with our guests, money indeed matters. But you knew that. But the longer conversations can give you some practical tips and some interesting ideas to make you smarter for your next conversation with your financial advisor about your retirement. You'll find links to the full conversations in the show notes, and you can visit our website, retirementwisdom.com, for more podcast conversations across our five seasons. Thanks for listening.
Just one more thing before you take off. Is it time to design your new life after you graduate from the world of full-time work? Go to retirementwisdom.com and schedule a call today with Joe Casey. Working with an experienced coach like Joe can help you explore new possibilities and gain clarity on your future. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. See you next week.